Do you know somebody that you would describe as a virtuous person? Perhaps you know someone that really exhibits some particular Christian virtue. Or maybe, first of all, we should ask ourselves, what are Christian virtues? What do you think of? What actions? What attitudes? That's not rhetorical. I'm not going to say another word till somebody answers. Charity, kindness,
compassion,
love,
empathy,
patience,
generous.
Sorry?
Generous.
Yes.
Honesty,
absolutely. See, all of these we recognize as being virtues. Virtues worthy and part of the Christian life. At one point, some of the ancestors in the faith came up with a formal list. They listed faith, hope, and charity, thanking Paul for that. And they also listed four that they had borrowed ever so readily from the Greeks. Wisdom, peace, justice, and courage, as I recall. This morning, I want us to consider a virtue that we almost never put on any list of Christian virtues, hospitality. You see, we think of hospitality as a social grace, a pleasant sort of thing that kind of lubricates relationships with other people. It's a nicety, but it's certainly not a necessity, and we probably wouldn't rank it high enough to call it a virtue, and certainly not high enough to think of it as a commandment. Hospitality, in the strictest sense, is about how we treat a guest. We're in our home, or we're on our home turf in some way or another, and we're the host or hostess. And hospitality is the warmth of our welcome, the gracious attention we give to the needs and the comfort of our guests. Often hospitality includes things like food, a place to sleep, safety and peace from outside intrusion, and congenial conversation. The focus isn't on our wants and needs, but it's on the contentment and even the safety of our guests. Now, hospitality is pretty common in many congregations. It's not unusual for members to do things outside of worship, do things together. One of my favorites as a child was dinner on the grounds. I still think fondly about it. There are covered dish suppers. Next week, we'll be gathering by the river and eating afterwards. So this is something we're familiar with. People in the congregation become friends. They might invite each other over to their home, maybe for dinner. The kids get to know each other, and maybe they stay at a friend's house overnight. All of those things involve hospitality. Hospitality is a natural result of friendship. Now, our Old Testament lesson was from Isaiah chapter 58. And in this chapter, the prophet is preaching a message the people really need to hear. People have been fasting and they've been bowing low in sackcloth and ashes. And they complain that God hasn't paid them any attention. And the prophet delivers God's response, telling him they've been seeking their own pleasure. They oppress their workers. They get into fights. They've been going through the motions of worship, going through the motions of fasting and bowing and humility. But their minds and their lives have been all about their own selfish desires, their personal gain, getting their own way, even by force, if needed. The prophet proclaims that God wants to see them doing something differently, wants to see them to fast from their self-centeredness and to see the suffering around them, free people from oppression, feed the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. Bring the homeless poor into your house? Oh my, that would be hospitality. God is commanding them to offer hospitality. And in today's epistle lesson from Titus, we're told that our church leaders should have several virtues, and among these virtues should be hospitality. And that's not said only in Titus, but also in 1 Timothy. But the charge to be hospitable doesn't apply only to leaders of the church. We find the message about hospitality also in Paul's letter to the Romans. In chapter 12, beginning at verse 11, Paul writes to all the members of the church in Rome, "To be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble, and devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home." Looking back again at today's passage in Isaiah, we recall that he told the people of Israel that God expected them to be hospitable to the homeless poor, to invite them into their homes. You know, that's a whole lot more difficult than offering hospitality to family and friends. But then, on top of that, we read what Jesus has to say in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Jesus was dining in a rich man's house, and Jesus said to the person who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." Wow. Did you catch that? Jesus said for us to invite the poor and the handicapped to our feast because they can't return the favor. Offer hospitality to the outsider, the stranger, to those outside our circle of friends and family. That's a tough challenge. The thing about strangers is that you don't know who they are by definition, and you have no idea what they might be like. And I've been racking my brain to try to think of some time when I've even come close to doing this. How about you? Have any of us ever done this? And the same instruction about hospitality appears another place in Hebrews chapter 13. "Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it." This passage in the Epistle to the Hebrews is referring to two events in the Old Testament. The first is when three men showed up where Abraham lived in Canaan. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bowed deeply. He said, "Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread so you will feel stronger, and after that you may leave your servant and go on your way." They responded, "Fine, do just as you have said." And so Abraham begged the men to stay, and they accepted his hospitality, and he dashed around getting Sarah and the servants to prepare a fine, indeed a sumptuous meal for his guests, these strangers. Only later, as they're leaving, does Abraham realize that one of his guests is the Lord God. And we presume the other two are angels. We presume that because in the very next chapter, chapter 19, the story continues. Two messengers entered Sodom in the evening. Lot, who was sitting at the gate of Sodom, saw them, got up to greet them, and bowed low. He said, "Come to your servant's house, spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you can get up early and go on your way." But they said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." He pleaded earnestly with them, and they went with him and entered his house. He made a big meal for them, even baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, Lot initially has no idea who these two strangers are. They're just strangers who arrive at the city gate, where he sees them and greets them and offers them the hospitality of his food and home. The text says he made a feast for them. You know, now I think we overlook the tremendous hospitality of both Abraham and Lot in these passages for several reasons. One, we know who they are. We know who they're entertaining as guests. And so we lose sight of the fact that neither Abraham nor Lot know when they offer their hospitality. Two, because we know the whole story, we're distracted from this part of each of these two events. We're distracted by the mob scene later in Sodom. We're distracted by the terrible, spectacular destruction of that city. We're distracted by the death of Lot's wife as they fled into the countryside. Violence, death, and fireworks will get your attention every time. And three, perhaps unconsciously, we just cannot imagine, cannot fathom, offering a sumptuous feast to strangers we don't know. That's repetitive. I mean, it isn't safe to allow strangers in your home. You have no idea what sort of people they might be. I struggle with this virtue of hospitality. I had no idea that hospitality was an important Christian virtue until Kathy and I went to Hungary in 1995. Most of the people we met had no idea who we were. But we were constantly overwhelmed by the generous and warm hospitality of the people that we met. Huge feast, generous evenings spent in their homes and in their family wine cellars, and gracious welcome as if we were just close family. And this kind of response greeted us everywhere we went. Perhaps they hoped that they were entertaining angels unawares. I hope they weren't too disappointed. This commandment to be hospitable is a real challenge for us. Isaiah took the people to task for just going through the motions of fasting and bowing before God. And we must not think that worship attendance and an annual pledge constitute a complete relationship with our Lord. We can't let hospitality become an empty shell of its real meaning by just going through the motions of hospitality. Real hospitality involves personal interaction. Hospitality is doing with others, not just doing for others. We can't just hire it done. Our eyes and ears have to be open to recognize need so that we can respond with kindness and compassion. Only through personal interaction can others feel the love of God through us. Hospitality to strangers seems pretty risky and, quite frankly, a bit of trouble to go to as well. But Rahab the harlot took great risk in hiding the Hebrew spies there on the wall of Jericho. And Jesus tells us about a good Samaritan who took the risk that the beat-up man lying there in the road to Jericho might have been a trap, but he took the risk anyway. and bound up his wounds and put him on his donkey and took him to a safe place where he could be cared for and paid for his care. You know, one of the most frequent exhortations in the Bible is, fear not. Be not afraid. It occurs over 60 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament combined. It keeps on being repeated to us. We would do well to be inspired by our ancestors in the faith who chose trust in God instead of fear, and did bold and wonderful things in service to God. So, sisters and brothers, I confess that I am challenged by this neglected command to offer hospitality to strangers and outcasts. I suspect that most of us fall short of this virtue. Going forward, may none of us shove this command back to the back of our minds to continue being neglected, to gather cobwebs and dust. For if we continue to neglect it, our souls, our relationship with our Lord, our very lives will be the poorer for doing so. So let us embrace hospitality and shower God's love generously on others. Amen.